You are listening to Think Theory Radio.
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 Radio. Radio.
Hello and welcome to Think Theory Radio, the show that brings you topics outside the mainstream realm of thought and ideas to make you think. And I'm Damian Perdue, your host and your epistemological guide in this hyper-reality ride.
I didn't know you were that religious.
No, epistemological means the study of knowledge.
Oh, okay, okay. Oh, yo, I guess, right? Did you throw it to me yet?
And that person speaking is the one and only Pauly C.
Yo, yo, yo.
Yo, to the yo, to the yo.
Times three.
Yep, three is the magic number. And it's, 2021. Still here in this crazy, hyper-real existence.
Yeah. I think there's a glitch in the system this week.
Yes, definitely. With the past 2 weeks. Well, really, the past, years.
Yeah.
But, definitely this past year or so. And in the past 2 weeks. You remember, did that show about disinformation. I talked about hyper-reality and what that was. And how basically it becomes hyper-reality becomes the distinction between reality and a simulation becomes blurred, especially in technologically advanced societies, and the kind of abuse of reality that's been taking place. And also, I've been kind of like, for a while, been wanting to talk about one of my favorite conspiracy theories, which is the reptilian alien overlords. which is one of the best, it's one of the best ones, right?
And yeah, I wasn't aware that there were supposedly lizards working amongst us until 2016. I started hearing that talk.
Oh, man, you're late, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm very late to the lizard
party.
They've
been running it for thousands of years, man. Didn't you see the movie The Arrival with Charlie Sheen?
No, never did.
Just Arrival. I think The Arrival was with, that was that newer Alien movie, but Arrival, Charlie Sheen. You never saw that?
Never saw that. Never even heard of that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you got to go back and watch it. It's basically these reptile aliens disguise themselves as humans, put themselves in high places in government, and created the epidemic of climate change. Like they're purposely trying to turn the world's temperature up because they needed a hotter atmosphere to exist in.
The closest I got with reptile people in the movies was Fear and Loathing, the bar scene.
Mm-hmm.
Like we can't get out of here if we don't have any golf shoes.
Right.
That's about as close as it got.
Oh, I'm sure you've seen more. I mean, what about, it wasn't really reptiles, but They Live.
Never saw that either.
You never saw They Live?
I know, and I need to see that one.
Come on.
I know.
Classic. But that was more like, they were these weird, there were definitely some kind of aliens, but they had more of like a demonic looking kind of skeleton face. But anyway, the segue to bring in this whole conspiracy is the Nashville bombing that occurred on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that got swept under the rug.
Yes. Not that anything else happened to make that go away.
But not in the sense that it's like a cover-up or anything.
No,
either.
No.
I think it's just,
I mean, well, do we know?
It's true. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, right?
But yeah, I mean, totally, though. I mean, you would think, okay, here is a
It's only
presumed,
15 days ago.
Right. And yeah, this was a presumed suicide bomber in the U.S.,
yep,
which you would think would get a lot more attention.
And an urban area.
Have you seen the videos of the devastation of it? I mean, it took out, like, the whole city block.
Yeah,
almost,
not vividly, like, but I saw, like, that day they were showing stuff. Here's the crazy part is I know that exact part of town.
Okay.
I was on that street,
yeah,
like, 5 years ago.
Mm.
Like, I happened to go downtown to watch a football game at a bar there.
Yeah, it's like a bunch of bars and stuff,
yep,
on that strip.
Yeah,
right?
And I remember there's, like, a Hooters at the corner,
mm-hmm,
and then I went, like, further down, and it was, like, I think by Coyote Ugly or something like that.
Okay.
But I was dying to find out where it was on Google Maps, and I saw it and I was like, oh my gosh, it's like right there, like two or three doors down. So I know exactly where that was.
Maybe the bomber just really didn't like bars based on cheesy like 90s movies.
There's a lot of them down there. Yeah.
But yeah, so this whole, one, the bombing in itself is crazy, right? I mean, just the whole situation of him, parking his RV, but like blasting warnings to people, you know, to get out of there, and this was going to happen. And then he also, I don't know if you knew this, but he played Petula Clark's Downtown.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So it was When You Downtown. Can Go. Da, 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 da,
yeah.
Da, da.
Yeah. Yep. All I keep thinking about is the Seinfeld episode where Costanza was like, I gotta go downtown, like the song.
No, wait, that's for real? That actually...
Yes.
Wow.
No, he actually did play the song, as I think, as time wound down and the bomb blew. And I started just kind of... I wasn't even really looking for it, but I saw this article about that he... They believe... from all their, you know, what they've gathered information on him is that he believed in the lizard and aliens controlling the world conspiracy theory. Right?
Yeah.
Now, there's no evidence that this was the main reason for the bombing. They really still don't know the exact motive, although it does appear to be a 5G thing because he did.
But you're suggesting that a person that's willing to blow up an RV in an urban area might subscribe to some very weird, unorthodox theories. That's what you're suggesting today?
Yeah, either that or, like I said, he just doesn't like 90s bar theme, movie themes or whatever. But, yeah, so he sent some packages to, I believe, like six individuals, possibly friends or whatever. And there was one of them was his friend who actually turned it into the FBI. And it said the packages contained at least 9 typed pages and 2 Samsung thumb drives. Right. And those packages arrived in the guy who turned it over to the FBI on New Year's Day, postmarked December 23rd. Now, there was no, at least that we know. Now, I looked for more information to see if anything from the thumb drives have been released. I haven't seen it yet. So I don't know if there's a manifesto in there at all. But from what they've said, there is no manifesto. There was no note. So that's why they're not actually calling him a suicide bomber, because there isn't typically they would leave a note or a manifesto. You know, it could be possible that he just accidentally blew himself up. But I think it was a suicide bomber because, one, he basically gave away all his possessions to his friends.
Yeah,
he told his ex-girlfriend.
An apartment or something like that.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
And then he told his ex-girlfriend he had cancer and was dying and stuff. So it seemed like he was kind of, you know, trying to give it up. And one of the pages he tells his friend, he says, "Hey, dude," the cover letter starts, "you will never believe what I found in the park. The knowledge I have gained is immeasurable. I now understand everything. And I mean everything from who, what we really are to what the known universe really is."
This is what this guy said?
Yeah. This was in the cover letter of the pages that he sent to his friends.
Oh, boy.
Right? So now they you know, from interviewing people and that know him, they believe that he did dabble in conspiracy theories and wrote that September 2011 was supposed to be the end game for the planet. Because that's when he believed that aliens and UFOs began launching attacks on Earth that the media is covering up. And it also said that the ramblings included writings about reptilians and lizard people that he believed controlled the Earth and had tweaked human DNA. He said, "They put a switch into the human brain so they could walk among us and appear human," Warner wrote. So, yeah, that's... one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up is...
And he found that in a park? That's what stumbled on that information?
Well, we don't know what he found in the park.
Okay.
So he already believed the aliens and lizard conspiracy theories, but I'm assuming the whatever he found in the park was the big catalyst, the big, you know, which explained everything. He said it explained what the known universe is really, you know, and who we really are. And... It brought me to, I started thinking about that and also what happened at the Capitol. These two things that caused destruction, that created a commotion within the reality that we perceive, right, that are based on hyper-reality, that are based on a kind of, obscuring of what we perceive as being real, right? The real mm-hmm. world. And you have these conspiracy theories that have taken over, not a huge section of this, you know, segment of the population, but enough people that it has caused these two instances within the past 2 weeks, right? And now I'll get into the Capitol stuff a little later, but because that's more involved with like QAnon conspiracies, although they do dabble in the lizard people stuff too. So now, but I wanted to actually explain what that conspiracy theory is, because it's one of my favorites. And there's varying degrees of what people perceive it to be. And of course, every kind of conspiracy theorist or, you know, somebody trying to make a buck off of it has their own little angle to it, right? And one of the most famous ones is David Icke. I don't know if you know who David Icke is,
no.
But he's pretty much a rock star in conspiracy circles. I mean, this guy, he's put out like 20 books. He's sold millions of copies, 12 different languages. He does these 9-hour lectures for thousands of people. He has like 100,000 people on his, you know, social platform, whatever. So he has a lot of influence among people. Now, he was originally a soccer player in England. Then he worked for the BBC. He also worked for the Green Party in England. And through that, you know, then in the early 90s, he declared he was the son of the Godhead. And that, you know, he was here to bring the visions of, you know, he said that the end of the world was coming in 97.
So he might have a Messiah complex as well.
Maybe a little bit. Okay. Although now he's reeling that back and saying, no. What I meant was we're all part of the matrix of the universe. You know, we're all
Messiah
sons of God.
Complex.
Right. And but that's interesting, too, about a lot of conspiracy theorists is like, especially the ones who try to predict, you know, like he tried to predict, you know, say the end of the world was coming in 97, 24 years later, obviously it didn't happen. So they always have to kind of push back this timeline. You know what I mean? And this is how, even with QAnon, how they usually get people too, is there always has to be kind of an end game. There has to be this kind of critical, pivotal moment where it's like, that's the end, you know, that's Judgment Day, or this is the apocalypse, or whatever
it is.
And, you know, because it I don't know, it kind of gives people like a goal line or something.
Yeah, no, I think so. Yeah.
You know?
Like, we got to do it by this day.
Exactly, right. Yeah. And maybe it gets people a little bit more panicky too as well. And
sure.
Inducing fear in people is a good way to manipulate. I mean, I talk about even the mainstream media does that. Even TV does that, right? And this is just kind of the fringe version of that. But the conspiracy theory itself is pretty awesome because it talks about, and it dabbles in, you take ancient historical data, combine it with science fiction, combine it with fantasy, and you come to the story of the Anunnaki.
Okay.
And now this modern people, you know, the problem too, though, is with these conspiracy theories is a lot of times it's very Eurocentric, and they like to take myths and stories from ancient Africa and ancient India and Mexico and Asia and put their own interpretation on it, right? Now, this one is about that these, whether or not, now this is where it varies too. Some say there were these aliens that came and taught man how to irrigate and taught astronomy and everything back in the days of Sumeria. Now, there are the Sumerian codices that are some of the oldest written tablets in the world, cuneiform Sanskrit writings from, I believe, 7,000 BC. Now, these tell the story of the Sumerian creation myth and the gods Anu and Enlil and Enki and these sky gods that came down and taught humans. And this is pretty much, I mean, you can look at it and you could see the lineage directly into the Bible, right? And into any other kind of religious story, the Epic of Gilgamesh and all the way down the line, even the Egyptian gods, the Greek gods, everything. They all kind of have similar stories that come from these Sumerian stories.
That's what happens with word of mouth stories.
Yeah, exactly right. And that's what happens in world history. You know, these things start from a place in ancient times where the first people started writing or started creating stories, whatever they were, whether they were believed to be factual or they were maybe just early forms of fantasy writing. You know, I mean, this could have been sci-fi for them back then. We don't know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But as the generations go by and these cultures interact with other cultures, you know, these stories get interchanged, they get turned around, they get added to, and, you know, voila, you have different religions and different cults and all kind of things around the world. But the modern interpretation, which goes back probably to maybe like the 70s, maybe before, but the 70s for sure is when you really first started to hear about like ancient astronauts and, okay. you know, these aliens visiting all the ancient people and teaching them how to build pyramids and, you know, and people trying to connect the dots of why there's so many similarities and why you have, you know, in Inca hieroglyphs, you have, you know, kind of reptilian looking creatures with wings and the same thing in India and Egypt and everything. So they try to connect the dots of this. Now there's different theories of these were just aliens. And then there are other ones that these were aliens that looked like reptilians. Now I've also heard there's a guy named Michael Tsarian, who's also, he's kind of a David Icke kind of guy, but he gets more into the theory that they were aliens and then created the reptilians later. So the theory is basically, long story short, these aliens came from Nibiru or the Sirius star system and, you know, either possibly landed on Earth on purpose or crash landed here. And they needed to mine gold because they, for some reason, needed gold in their atmosphere at their planet, which was dying. So they mixed their DNA with primate DNA that was on Earth already and created the humans. And they wanted them to be slaves to mine the gold, right? And then after the humans kind of revolted and were like, yeah, we're done with this and moved on and started settling around the world, they mixed their DNA with human and reptilian or reptiles.
Okay.
To create a more subservient race that they could control more and, you know, wouldn't lash out at them.
And that they could feed easily with the fly problems at
yes,
the time.
Right. The prehistoric flies. And
they eat on the cheap. It's great.
Yeah. Now, supposedly these reptilians, this bloodline is the, like, has controlled the world since the dawn of time. You know, that every, from the Egyptian pharaohs to the, you know, to the royal bloodline in the UK to US presidents, that this is all the same bloodline.
Okay.
Right. And, you know, and then it gets into like a lot of, now he gets a lot of, he gets into that whole anti-Semitic kind of Rothschild banking conspiracy theories, tries to tie all that in. He's kind of like this, and I'm speaking of Icke, he has a super conspiracy theorist, right? Where he has this massive umbrella and all conspiracy theories kind of fit under it, whether it's UFOs, whether it's reptilians, whether it's the Rothschild banking thing, whether it's the military industrial complex, whatever it is. And the other ones you have in the same theory actually believe that they were benevolent, that these creatures were, but the Anunnaki were actually teachers and they were here to teach us. And it was all, you know, a peaceful thing. And they were just trying to instill knowledge upon us. Right. So you have these different competing kind of theories of this kind of ancient alien mindset. Right. And what I was looking into too, is that there's similarities to the fantasy novels of the late 1800s and early 1900s, like H.P. Lovecraft and the Conan the Barbarian creator, Robert E. Howard. Now, he had a story called The Shadow Kingdom, which was the first appearance of serpent men in literature. And that was published in Weird Tales in August 1929. And this talks about lost worlds of Atlantis and Lemuria. And these serpent men were humanoids who were like controlling the world and had mind control abilities and lived in underground passages. And this is pretty much word for word what David Icke says. So it's kind of like he lifted it from Conan the Barbarian. But there's more to it. And I know we got to take a break and we'll be back with more Think Theory Radio.
Chicago's Progressive Talk, WCPT 820, where facts matter.
Welcome back to Think Theory Radio. This is Damien, and today we're talking about lizards, aliens, patriots, oh my! And basically, you know, a couple different reasons that I wanted to bring this up is, one, like I said, I love this conspiracy theory and I love all the kind of ancient alien stuff. And, but also this kind of hyper reality situation that we're in, where you have groups of people that are buying into these conspiracy theories enough that they're actually taking action, you know, and blowing up the, you know, a block in downtown Nashville, storming the Capitol building. Because it's essentially, although they're two different conspiracy theories, it's the same thing. Because here you have a guy who believes in, now they don't know for sure, but he has been outspoken against, and I'm talking about Anthony Warner. Anthony, you know what's funny? His name is Anthony Q. Warner.
Oh, no. But he wasn't a QAnon guy, though, was he?
Not from what I see, but I wouldn't doubt if he wasn't.
Okay.
You know, because just what his thoughts and everything align with is a lot of the stuff that gets talked about on 8chan and 4chan.
But was he a really open right-winger at all, or was he...
It doesn't say. It just seems more that he was, like... just kind of a, I don't even know if he was a recluse. He was a computer expert, didn't really say much of his political association, and he believed, they think that he was an anti-5G person that believed that 5G actually gave his father dementia, and that, you know, these aliens were using it to, like, alter our DNA.
Yeah, I guess that theory doesn't subscribe to any particular party, does it?
No, and that's the thing, you know, that's the thing about, like, David Icke and the whole reptilian conspiracy is if you went to, like, one of his lectures, you would have both. You'd have these QAnon supporters on, you know, on the right of you. You'd have these New Age spiritualists on the left, both subscribing to this, you know, because the way he uses certain bits of knowledge, and that's what a lot of conspiracy theorists do, is they use tiny bits of knowledge from substantiated sectors of society, like science or religion or politics, and they use these little bits as kind of justification for their theory, right?
It's such a weird Venn diagram, the type of thing that marketing companies love.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And, you know, there's just, it's almost like exactly what you're talking about. And is that what the...
it's like the two circles, but the
two circles,
part,
right. Yeah, now, what is it when, you know, like, either a kook or like a detective has the board where they have all the pictures and they take the string and they line
everything up? Oh, yeah, I forgot what that's called, but that's, you know?
Didn't Jim Carrey do that in Numbers? Did you see the movie Numbers?
Oh, I thought it was the number 23.
Number 23,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. No, I never saw that, but famously, there's the meme with Charlie Day from... It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Doing that. And then A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was kind of where it first
exactly,
got on my
right.
radar of like, oh, wow, people actually do that. So.
And that's kind of like what his books are. You know, speaking of Icke and others like him, they kind of take all these different things and they connect it. And they'll find like quotes from different scientists who say, well, yeah, you know, this asteroid hit the moon and it sounded hollow. So, see, it's proof of the hollow moon. Because that's what he also believes, is that the moon is hollow. It was brought here by these reptilian aliens. It's actually sending out a frequency to block our senses so that we can't actually see the or feel these aliens that are trying to control us. And I'm sure, like, 5G ties into that as well. And, you know, and this that also kind of, for a little bit in the beginning of the, you know, COVID, was... The first conspiracy theory was, you know, aside from it being a hoax, was that it was caused by 5G, right?
Okay.
And that 5G was altering our DNA and it was, you know, giving us coronavirus, which, you know, that was proven false. But like different, you know, Russia's RT America actually called and, you know, was calling it a 5G apocalypse and connecting 5G signals to brain cancer and fertility, autism and Alzheimer's disease. And so it's, you know, it's been picked up in a lot of different sectors of society, right? But it's also kind of funny when things like that come out and they kind of fall apart. The conspiracy theorists don't, like, give a reason for that. You know, it's like the 5G conspiracy about coronavirus was pretty, you know, disproven pretty easily. And now you don't hear that anymore. You know, but when the beginnings, people were so animate that that was what it was. Well,
and before that, it was, it's going to kill off all the bees. 5G is killing all of the bees.
Right, right. Yeah. And this has been like that, you know, going back to the telephone, you know, and electricity.
Yeah.
Every time a new technology comes out, there's... people fear it.
And yeah, because aren't there those, the, like, those old, like, French cartoons from, like, 100 years ago where it's, like, it shows people... I think I saw something along those lines.
You're probably right, because there was actually, I can't remember the name of it, there was a disease that these physicians gave to people who had some kind of mental disorder, but they associated it with the telephone.
Okay.
Now, at the time, because I think it was the 1800s, only, like, rich people could have a telephone. Right. So it became kind of like this, like a different form of affluenza. You know, it was like these affluent people wanted to say they had this disease because it proved they had a telephone.
Okay.
You know, okay. And then when the train, when trains, like passenger trains first came out, there were like well-known physicians, like very prominent people that were saying, no, you, these are dangerous because when you make a human travel that fast, it will age them. Right.
Yeah.
You know, these weren't even the bullet trains that go 300 miles an hour. You know, these were, I don't know what they were going, 70 miles an hour, maybe back then. So this happens, you know, happening with 4G, 3G, happening with TV, you know, TV's, you know, altering your brain, which it probably does.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of it is, you know, rooted in kernels of truth. You know, I mean, they're, and that's what I would never dismiss a conspiracy theory because many have been proven true. I mean, MK Ultra. Mind control with the CIA, that's, they admitted to it. They experimented on people. They experimented on over 100,000 mental patients. They, remember it was a conspiracy theory that the government's spying on us. Oh, yeah, well, control. Yeah. It was true, right? There's been several like that. Now, these extreme ones, I don't think will ever be proven true because I don't really think they're true, but I think that they take bits from that and they use those as an excuse. You know, they use the proof that MK Ultra was real and that the CIA was experimenting with mind control to justify them saying that there's lizard people controlling the world and using mind control, right? Well, this has been, you know, even though they're mutually exclusive, they still kind of try to tie it together. And when you have, you know, and I'm wondering how many more situations like this have happened, you know, that maybe we didn't really hear of. There was like, I forget the guy who tried to bomb the airport several years ago. He was also conspiracy theorist.
But there's a shooting at the Miami airport like 3-4 years ago. Is that what you're talking about? Or
it could be, but I think he was also, yeah, I think you're right. But what was his reasoning?
I don't know.
Kind of conspiracy behind it. It wasn't like a random thing. Like he believed, oh, they're trying to do, you know, I remember him saying something about the New World Order or something like that. Maybe I'll have to look it up during the break. But
okay.
But anyway, but this happens. And, you know, this kind of anti-technology belief system, you know, we've seen this before, like with Ted Kaczynski, you know, the Unabomber. And that was, and he was, you know, he was a Harvard mathematics professor, right? And he was, you know, so anti-technology that he actually killed like 3 people, injured, I think, like 23 others. And there are, you know, other people that are the same. They speak out against it. And I'm, you know, believe me, I'm not one to say we should just accept any kind of new technology without critically analyzing it. Because, you know, when you involve capitalism and corporations and profit, they're going to try to push things through. Without always, you know, getting all the regulations done, right? We've seen it time and time again. And so I can, you know, I totally understand that. And that's kind of how they get people sucked into these kind of cults in a way. You know, QAnon is pretty much a cult, right?
I would say so, given what we've seen, the outcomes.
Right. Exactly. And that's the other kind of thing that I wanted to tie into this hyper reality was the, you know, the Capitol invasion or insurrection or whatever you want to call it, or a huge hissy fit or whatever. Yeah. But it was based on a concept that just isn't true, that like that Trump really won the election and that there was some kind of, you know, huge cover up and mass manipulation, and he himself is exporting, you know, espousing these ideas and getting people riled up. But, you know, but they're also, they have been kind of building up underneath by being on these message boards like 8chan and everything, and believing in these QAnon conspiracies, right, which tie in to, you know, the Satanist, you know, world global cabal that's running everything. It's very similar to the reptilian thing, right? There's always this secret elite that's controlling things, and that there's always, like I said, this kind of end game, right? Like, this is what they were, they thought this was the storm. You know, we talked about before, they believe the storm is coming.
Yeah.
That was the whole QAnon thing. They believe that that Capitol thing was the storm. They really, I think a lot of them really believed.
I hope it's just that then.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. But it, you know, but the fact that they believe something so much that wasn't true, that it created an alternate reality in which in their minds it was true enough that they impacted the world that we know in the way that they did, by actually storming the Capitol, breaking things, stealing things, getting people killed, right? This all happened based on something that is kind of a non-reality, you know, this hyper-reality. And this, and they, I believe that they thought they were going to actually change the outcome of the election. And that, I mean, they brought zip ties, they found tons of zip ties, yeah, pipe bombs, Molotov cocktails.
I think some did. And I think, you know,
I think
like,
a lot, there was definitely people who were just along for the ride.
Yep.
You know,
and just and didn't just, realize once they got there, yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
There's that CEO from the Schomburg company. Did you hear about him?
No, I mean, but I've been kind of hearing, you know, there's the
he just got arrested.
Woman. I'd heard that there was like a restaurant in town here.
Oh, yeah. And the tattoo place.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. The tattoo place. Yeah. I mean, in terms of the local connection to it, I mean, one of the guys arrested was a former bartender in Nashville. Mm-hmm. You know, of course, the various QAnon people that were, you know, high ranking or very transparent amongst
Jamira
that.
Yeah, like, Jamira QAnon was there.
Yeah, Jamira QAnon, yeah, yeah. So the guy with the horn,
And
so, virtual insanity.
Right. Well, as I like to call him, Burning Clan.
Burning Clan. There you go.
And, yeah, so, I mean, just that. That's kind of also what triggered me to do this show, is like I was looking at the picture of him and it just seemed like such a surreal image of this dude, you know, with this buffalo hat. I mean, he looked like he was at Burning Man or something, you know, in the middle of the Capitol building, you know, with this Trump flag and this QAnon stuff. And it's like, this
there's
is
lots
really
of
happening right now.
Images from that day that I'm just like, no way. Never in American history would I ever think, you know, some bro sitting at like the desk where, you know, the vice president and like, oh my God.
Taking selfies.
Or like the guy, like you know, like peace with the lectern as he's walking out.
Right.
Just, what a bunch of clowns.
Yeah. And but that's the, you know, but they got swept up in this belief of something that just, you know, isn't true. Right. So much so that they did, you know, they did this kind of, I don't want to use the word amazing, but like kind of an incredible stunt that we've never seen before. Now, a lot of it to me was a failure on the part of the White House and Capitol Police, and not having, you know, the National Guard there, knowing this was going to happen. I mean, this wasn't like, hey, we're just showing up now. They were talking about it for weeks.
Well, even Trump was saying, we're going to march down to the Capitol.
Exactly.
I'll be right there with you.
Right.
Well, let me go ahead and get something to change into first.
Yeah. Well, and it's come out now that the governor was saying that he had the National Guard ready. But the White House wouldn't let them do it.
The mayor of D.C., I think, might have asked for that as well. Yeah.
The governor was like, we're ready. We're standing by. So anyway, but that's kind of not what I was, you know, not I'm trying to get into that part of the conversation, really, or that story. That's for another day. Right. But this is more about how people can get swept up in these conspiracies and actually kind of act out in the real world, right? Because this has been, you know, these kind of conspiracies have been around for a long time. David Icke's been around since the late 80s, early 90s. Stan Deo was one in the 70s who wrote about the cosmic conspiracy. And he was an ex-physicist who was also a like very Christian person. And he tried to tie in the Bible with kind of alien invasion, very similar to the Ike stuff, but I don't know if he tied in the whole reptilian stuff. It was more like alien, kind of saying that the aliens are angels and demons and stuff like that. You know, it's interesting, but this has been around, but I don't think that we've actually seen, at least in the United States, we haven't seen it take effect in the real world. We have seen it in other places. There was like the Japanese cult that released the sarin gas in the subway.
Yeah, it was like the 90s, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, now they believed, you know, they were a conspiracy cult.
Now, are you saying like, conspiracy cults? Because I think of just cults in general in the United States, but there was the Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate, right. Yeah, when they believed in aliens.
Yep.
Too,
yeah, because they were going to be on the spaceship behind the Halibop comet or whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's another good example of hyper-reality and people kind of getting, I guess cults in itself would be pretty much like almost the definition of hyper-reality, where they get swept up in this belief that's, you know, not really true, but they think it is, and it turns into something so real for them. You know, like I can imagine this Nashville bomber. I mean, we could joke about it and say, oh, reptilians, aliens, it's crazy, but this guy believed it so much. And believe the, you know, and now this is pure speculation on my part because this hasn't come out, you know, they haven't totally said that this was the reason he did it. But when you look at his writings and what his friends have said he believed in, it appears to be that he was driven by these conspiracy theories and by his anti-5G stance, right? Now, you know, that's a big effect for someone to kill themselves. And take out almost a whole city block.
Yeah.
You know, that's not just somebody creating a YouTube channel and trying to get a bunch of followers and trying to sell books. You know, it's so much a bigger impact upon a person's life and other person's. I mean, and the good thing was that, I mean, he seemed like, I guess, somewhat of a humanitarian because he actually did try to warn people. And luckily, no one else was hurt except for him. Right. Now, that didn't happen at the Capitol, though. You know, the Capitol, other people got killed. There was the cop who got killed, who was a Trump supporter as well. He was a huge Trump supporter, and he got killed by Trump supporters. You know, and ones who talk about law and order, right? What happened to the law and order?
Yeah, you could go down a big rabbit hole with that
one. Oh, yeah, for sure. And, you know, and it's just kind of amazing and interesting the fact that these two events have happened so close together, you know, and the kind of it's like we left 2020 with a bang, literally.
Yeah.
And then entered 2021 with a storm. And I want to keep on talking about I want to get a little bit back into the reptilian conspiracy and why these things have kind of consumed a lot of people. You know, it's about 4% of the American population believe in that conspiracy theory. So we'll be back with more Think Theory Radio in just a bit.
Because facts matter. You are listening to WCPT 820.
So who's in this Pentagon?
The Queen, the Vatican, the Gettys, the Rothschilds, and Colonel Sanders before he went tetsa.
Welcome back to Think Theory Radio. Nice. And today we are getting into that. Like, who controls the world? The Stonecutters. You know?
Oh, yeah. Well, wait, I got that too. Hold on.
Freemasons run the country!
There we go.
But we need the Stonecutter song, you know?
Oh,
they made Steve Gutenberg a star. Come on.
Rig every astronaut.
If they could do that, then who knows what they're capable of, Paul.
Oh, my goodness.
And, so it's kind of crazy if you look at the people who have kind of made a career off of this belief, and it's pretty huge. You know, there's tons of different, I mean, the fact that Ancient Aliens is a show on the History Channel, and it's been on for years, shows you how these kind of theories have crept into the mainstream, right? Now, Ancient Aliens isn't always, they they kind of hint at this kind of like reptilian thing, but they don't really get into it. It's more just about, you know, that the aliens came and taught humans how to do everything. And but the reptilian idea of this kind of, you know, bloodline that has been running the world for thousands of years seems to be more of a modern phenomenon, right? But there's a lot of people. I mean, this guy, you know, David Icke sells, they're like $100 tickets to his shows, you know, to his lectures. And thousands of people go to him, you know, and he's making tons of money off it. See, that's my thing. You know, when I look at like conspiracy theories, I always look at these theorists and see, well, how much money are they pulling in? You know, what's their net worth? Because to me, that makes me kind of distrust them. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, not that there isn't other reasons to distrust them, but I always feel like if you were really trying to put out the truth, you wouldn't be concerned with the money, right? Like you would just want the truth to be out there. You would just want it, you know, people to know what's really going on in the world. You wouldn't be concerned about, like, how can I market this, you know, and how can I be this spokesperson for this? And I also find the funny thing too is a lot of them kind of, they look like reptilians or aliens. You know?
Yeah.
It's like some of the pictures of those people, the QAnon people at the Capitol, some of them looked kind of strange, too. I was like, kind of, you know, what they were doing. I don't know. But and then Jabberjaw's there, too. You know, I don't know if he's...
What?
Trump Jr.
Oh.
Well, did you see the video? He looks like super coked out, and he's got, like, the Jabberjaws.
Yeah,
and, like,
yeah.
He's like, and they're like, what is going on? You know, but that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Like, this weird, surreal... world that has kind of like invaded our bubble, you know, of this world, right? And it's almost, although it kind of makes sense when you think of what Trump is most known for, being this reality star, right? And it's like as if this whole, I mean, his whole presidency, but especially this past year and especially since the election, has really seemed like a reality show. Right.
Well, yeah.
And even the Capitol invasion, even though, you know, like people got hurt and it's messed up and, you know, people died. But
sweeps month, we got to have something big happen.
Right. But it just seemed strange, like the whole kind of spectacle of it. You know, I don't know if you saw, but there was a guy like selling hot dogs. Like there was a Nathan's hot dog tent set up right at the base of the Capitol building steps. You know,
don't start an insurrection on an empty stomach.
Right.
Remember Nathan's hot dogs.
I mean, you know, what's more American than hot dogs, right?
Especially Nathan's hot dogs.
Right.
Too.
But it's like, that was like pure, it's like, that's capitalism at its best, you know, right there. It's like, what? They're going to storm the Capitol? I can make money off of that. I'm going to sell some hot dogs to these guys.
That's America right
you
there.
Know? But that's what I mean. It's like the whole just kind of surreal nature of what was happening and what was going on, you know? And that's the thing, too, is that if you get deep into, and I've talked about it on the show before, so I won't, you know, I'm not going to beat a dead horse, but the QAnon stuff, it has a very similar vibe to this, you know, reptilian conspiracy theory that the Nashville bomber believed in, right? And it's what they do, too, a lot of the times is they use religion. There's always kind of some religious aspect, and that's kind of more where it differentiates, like where the reptilian and the Ikes of the world, it's more they do try to tie in like the bank or the church, but they try to say, oh, the church is actually run by Satanists, you know, and they're part of the you know, child trafficking rings and drug trafficking. And then, like I said, it gets into this whole like anti-Semitic stuff, which is all basic. It's based off of the elders, the protocols of the Elders of Zion. I don't know if you know about this book, but it was...
No, I don't know about this book.
It was written in the late... I believe the late 1800s. Some people believe it was a forgery, but it was this... It's one, it, like the conspiracy theory of that time. It was like what the reptilian thing would be now. This was of the 1800s into the 1900s about these... There were these elder... I think they said 30. There were like 30 Jewish elders that were running all of Europe.
Okay.
You know, and then it got into this whole thing about Satanism and, you know, same thing, human sacrifice and child eating and all this stuff, you know. And this is what Hitler used, to kind of justify
this. All this rhetoric sounds familiar from somebody here.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And this is, you know, what he was using as justification to demonize Jewish people. Right. So this has trickled down to these conspiracy theories that exist now and on 8chan with QAnon. So that's where it does tie in together with the two, where you have the reptilian theories, this anti-Semitism and this whole like Rothschild stuff, and you know, they're controlled the central banks, which is really, if
well,
you
then
look,
your Venn diagram can incorporate neo-Nazis into it as well.
Oh, totally. Yeah, for sure. And then it kind of trickles into the QAnon crowd, where they believe that this similar kind of viewpoint, you know, where, yeah, you know, the Jewish bankers are running the world, and it's like, but you know, in actuality, like the Rothschilds only really have like 10% invested in the world banking system. I mean, the Saudi royal family has way more money than the Rothschilds. And the Rothschilds are so fragmented, and there's so many, that's a huge family. And if you look into most of the banking, it's not all Jewish people. There are plenty of banks that were started by, either secular people or Christians, right? Like, or non-secular, I mean. Like J.P. Morgan and I believe Deutsche Bank and different ones. These were not started by Jewish people, right? And I read somewhere somebody made a good point. They said, you know, just because the banker's Jewish doesn't mean the money in the bank is,
okay.
You know what I mean? Meaning that there's tons of rich people in the world.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds. The problem is like geopolitics and geoeconomics and the way the world is run. It's so much more complex and nuanced than any conspiracy theory can really handle, right? So you have to kind of create a simplified version of what's happening in the world. And it's easier when you can kind of latch on to aspects of religion and science fiction that kind of captivate people, and you can like reel them in with that, right? And then mm-hmm. you throw these little tidbits and you connect these dots that maybe don't really connect, but they seem like they do on the surface. It's like the word for it's like pareidolia or pareidolia. It's like the kind of psychological thing where you connect dots that aren't really there.
Okay.
And this is kind of a human thing. This is like comes from it's basically like ingrained in our DNA, because it comes from when we were kind of fight or flight mode, and kind of, you know, when we were existing more in nature, we had to perceive certain things. You know, is that a tree? Is that a human? Whatever. And that developed in our minds ways to connect patterns and ways to connect and see, you know, beyond our scope. But now it's like, since we don't need those same skills, you know, we're not out in the woods hunting or whatever. People connect dots in their own frame of reference of what they're seeing in front of them now, which would be world politics and religion and stuff like that, right? So they throw in, and they'll throw in little tidbits of science and stuff like that and sprinkle it in, and, you know, it and just makes it sound more official, right? Because the majority of people, like, you know, I love talking about quantum physics and everything, but I'm not a quantum physicist, right? And I wouldn't pretend to be, but you could easily, you know, if I wanted to manipulate someone and said something about, you know, adding in certain aspects of quantum physics, they might believe it more because it sounds substantiated. It sounds like it's coming from a place of higher knowledge, because the the majority of us don't study every single subject under the sun. So it's kind of hard to differentiate from, what is actually facts based upon a certain area of study rather than, you know, what you know to be true, right? So it's I see why people get wrapped up in this, because it's kind of like, why do people like science fiction? You know, why do people like fantasy? It captivates the mind. And it's the same thing with these conspiracy theories. You know, come on, what I just told you about the reptilians and all that, that makes a great movie, right?
Yeah.
And honestly, I would love to, and they have. I mean, there's been, Stargate, you remember the whole Stargate series, the Stargate movie and all the Stargate TV shows? That's kind of based upon this ancient alien stuff, you know, where they're, you know, the ancient Egyptians were actually these aliens, and they left these Stargates, and then there were all these other ancient aliens, that all the ancient gods were actually these aliens, right? So this has been in science fiction. This has been in fantasy for decades, you know, if not 100 years, because we're talking about like the Conan the Barbarian thing and the Serpent Men, right? Now, in H.P. Lovecraft and the whole, Cthulhu mythos, right? But what they do too is they're reading old myths from India and Asia and Africa, and they're interpreting it and they're using it as inspiration for their stories, right? And that was when, I mean, that's kind of, if you look at the 1800s, is when kind of humanity started to shift from religion to science and, you know, critical thinking and science fiction writing and fantasy started to emerge, right? Because it really didn't exist before, you know, maybe the 1700s to 1800s. And that's kind of, so you had a society where people were kind of less believing in, you know, the religious myths and were turning more to science. So writers started using science and fiction and creating science fiction and fantasy. So it's kind of the same thing you have now with these conspiracy theories. And that's, I think that's one of the reasons that it just captivates people, you know? And then there's also the aspect of like people knowing something that you don't know. Right. I think that's really what gets people in it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, bro, you're not woke to that.
Exactly.
Like, you know, you don't even know the truth, bro.
Right. And that's a big part of it, you know, and that somebody wants to prove somebody else wrong, or I know more than you and I know what's really going on in the world, you know, and in reality, none of us know what's really going on in the world, you know. And I always try to tell people it's like it's so much more complex. Like, read a Noam Chomsky book. Right. He's not a conspiracy theorist, but he breaks down to you how the world is manipulated by the people in power.
Mm-hmm.
But his is much more logical and critical. And also, you know, you can see what he's been studying, what he's been researching, and he lays it down for you. And it makes much more logical sense than you when you watch a YouTube video by some dude talking about, you know, there's a dark cabal, you know, eating babies and running the world.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the problem is a lot of people don't read Noam Chomsky or other writers like him, you know, or Naomi Klein and all these different ones who actually write about people who are running the world and, you know, these power elites and these different organizations and think tanks that are causing damage and bringing about, you know, detrimental situations in our world, from pollution to wars, you know, war for profit. I mean, there's huge organizations that have massive influence on governments and, you know, religious institutions. I mean, the Council on Foreign Affairs, the Fellowship, you know, all these different organizations. Yes, they have massive influence and they can steer things to happen. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everything that happens is controlled by them. You know what I mean? And not everything in the world that is happening is tied together. Right. It's like the world is too bigger than that. Like, society is too much more complex and complicated, right?
Yeah.
But it's much easier to believe in something when it's this simplistic, overarching theory, you know? And I'm just like, I'm not necessarily worried. I'm kind of more intrigued to see, like, where is this going to lead with the kind of the belief in conspiracies becoming more mainstream.
Yeah.
You know? And with all these, you know, new sites, who knows what kind of like media site Trump's going to come up with when he's out of here, you know, and what's going to be on that? I don't know.
Oh, goodness.
You know what I mean? I also have a theory, though, like that'll be to edit here, really. But I feel like in 6 months or a year, he's going to like do an interview with Oprah and just like admit that this was all a scam and just like, oh, I got a new book. You want to buy it? And I'll tell you the truth.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't think it'll ever get that far with him. I don't think he'll ever own up to any of the mistakes or, you know, like.
But see, he did, though. That's what makes me think, is because like in 2016, right after he got elected, he went and did those rallies and he admitted the whole locker thing up was fake. He admitted the drain the swamp thing was just a stupid. He said he didn't even want to say it. He's like, I thought it sounded stupid, but they told me to say it. And I said it. And he told his own supporters that
if they can get him on a witness stand. You know, maybe we'll start hearing some of this, but I won't believe it until I see it, though.
Well, when the reptilians come for him, you're going to hear the truth. Although he did sign an executive order for in the 180 days, the Pentagon has to release all their UFO information.
Oh, wow.
So we'll see what happens with that. And we'll see what happens next week with more Think Theory Radio right here on WCPT 820.